So last week we were together. We began to learn the halachas of, if you want to call it that, the Tisha B'Av season. We talked about what happened on Shavuos of Thomas for Ashkenazim. We have what's called the 3 weeks. It starts from Shavuos of Thomas, which was Sunday, and we discussed the things that happened on Shavuos of Thomas. Number of things, like the breaking of the luchos. We talked about why that affects us. Cause us to forget, like just now, right? I should remember it right away, but the answer is that you forget things. The Talmid sacrifice stopped before the destruction of Beis Hamikdash. We discussed about the importance of that. Of course, that was in last week's parsha about the Korban HaTamid. The walls of Yerushalayim were breached, the Torah scroll was set on fire, and an aisle was erected in the temple. And therefore, Korban Ashkenazim, we have a 3 week period starting from that tragedy, Shavuos of Thomas, which was Sunday, going until Tisha B'Av. And therefore, this is a time of sadness for loss of Beis Hamikdash. Again, Tisha B'Av will discuss exactly what can people think we're mourning over the destruction of the building. That's in a way true, but we have to understand the significance of the building, what it meant, what it did. I think we'll talk about that maybe in Meretz Hashem today, in B'nai Neder. And therefore, the certain laws of mourning apply to us. And so therefore, talked about having, according to Ashkenazim, no weddings, no music. You could have an engagement without music, just having an engagement. We discuss why. We don't make a shechianu. Now, I was going to touch on that today. This is where people get mixed up between the 3 weeks and Sfira. By Sfira, you don't see any halacha that you can't make a shechianu. In fact, the Marshan says very clearly that, let's say, during Sfira, right between Pesach and Shavuos, you could buy new clothes. You could buy... Shechianu is not... what people get confused is, this time of year, for these 3 weeks, you don't make a shechianu. So, therefore... like for a new fruit, you don't buy new clothes for this reason, because it might necessitate, according to some, you make the shulchan when you buy it, not just when you wear. We make the shulchan when we wear the new clothes for the first time. But anyways, that's number two, no shachianu. Number three is no shaving or haircuts. Okay? Right. Okay, so I think that's what we got to... Oh. From page 316, right? I think that's what we're at, the right?
Number 7 at the bottom.
Right, number 7 on the bottom. I sit corrected. I can't stand corrected. I'm not standing right now. Okay, right. So 316 on the bottom, number 7. Now, as I said before, as we get closer and closer and closer and closer to Tisha B'Av, the mourning intensifies. Now this year, the wrinkle to that's going to be that Tisha B'Av is on Saturday night, Sunday. So usually when we really come into things is we start the really intensifying on Erev Tisha B'Av. Problem will be, as we'll get to hopefully today, Erev Tisha B'Av is Shabbos, right? So we'll just bear that in mind. Now again, don't get confused. Sometimes Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos and it's pushed off to Sunday. That's not the case this year. This year it's, however you want to call it, legitimately, it's really Saturday night, Sunday is Tisha B'Av, is the ninth day of Av. Okay? So just bear that in mind. So where, if it's pushed off, if Shabbos is Tisha B'Av and it gets pushed off to Sunday, there's other halachas. But this year you do have a slightly different year than normal, if anything's considered normal, because Erev Tisha B'Av is Shabbos, so that's going to obviously play into our halachos here. Okay, somebody's going to have to read, but everybody somebody reads anyway. So who's today's designated?
Thank you, Zev. Rejoicing is minimized from Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av. The mourning over the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash is intensified during this period. New clothes may not be sewn or purchased during this period. This applies even if one only tends to use the clothes after the ninth of Av.
Okay, so you know the famous Chazal. During Adar, it's Mishniknas Av, Adar, excuse me, Mishniknas Adar Marbim Simcha. When the Adar comes in, we are happier. The opposite of that is Mishniknas Av. When Av begins, we diminish happiness. Right? So therefore, during the 3 weeks, you could sew clothes and things like that. During, you could get repaired. During the 90s, we don't even get clothes repaired. And this applies even if, right, you bought a suit before, and now you just want to get tailored. So you take it, and you're not going to wear it till after Tisha B'Av. So you shouldn't get it soon. Okay?
Close and now me. That. Clothes may not be washed, ironed, or taken in to be dry cleaned from Rosh Chodesh Av until after Tisha B'Av. This rule applies even if one only intends to wear the clothes after Tisha B'Av. It is customary to wash little children's clothes during this period because they are constantly being soiled.
Right, so little kids are different because I could tell you, you know, little kids, you know, it's constant. So therefore, they can wear, you can wash their clothes. But let's see a little bit more about adult clothes.
Freshly laundered clothes should not be worn during these 9 days. One may wear clothes that were worn for a short while before Rosh Chodesh Av. One may wear freshly laundered clothes on the Shabbos that occurs during these 9 days. Sephardic Jews only observe the restrictions regarding washing and ironing clothes and wearing freshly laundered clothes during the week of Tisha B'Av.
Okay, so according to Sephardim, as we mentioned last week, it's the Shuah Shokalbo. So again, this year, there are differences of opinion when the Shuah Shokalbo is. When's the week of Tisha B'Av? Because Tisha B'Av is on Sunday. It's the first day of the week. So some Sephardim hold 9 days anyways. But even not that, a lot of Sephardim will hold the week before. But be that as it may, the first thing we have to focus on is during the 9 days we don't wear freshly laundered clothes. Okay, let's discuss that a little. So what does that mean? That means, you know, it feels good. I don't know about you, but it feels good when you wear a freshly dry cleaned suit. Not a new suit, but freshly, you know, it feels fresh. Right, that's why they call it freshly laundered, right? So it feels good, or anything. So therefore, that gives us simcha, that feels good. So we're trying to minimize happiness and physical pleasure. A mourner, someone who mourns, isn't into the physical. Right? You probably notice, cover their mirrors, because you're focusing on that life. If you believe life is physical, so you're in big trouble. I always tell people this, that I can't understand if you don't believe in God and a soul and all that. So the fact it's true. But you can mentally live with yourself. Because, you know, people die. And so how do you cope with that? You know, so then a person's here for whatever amount of time. You put them in a box, put them in the ground or whatever. That's the end of their existence. So, right, we don't believe that. We believe there's something beyond physical. So the physical might be gone, but the spiritual lives forever. That's eternal. So therefore, we minimize the physical pleasure that we get during this time. So, you know, to put on a fresh laundered clothes, it's geschmack, as they say. Right? It's good. So therefore, we can't do that.
You see a crease in your pants that might not be there otherwise. That's the feeling I get.
Nicely
the crease
creased.
Is back in the pants.
That's, so that's also true. You know, you have to dress like a mensch. But let's define this a little more. So you can't wear freshly laundered clothes. So what does that mean? So what do I do during the 9 days? So there's a couple things we have to understand. So you're not allowed to wear freshly laundered clothes. This not only applies to if you took something to dry cleaners or certainly something new, but it also applies by something that we wash in our washing machine also. So therefore we can't wear that. So what does that mean? So that means I can't wear fresh laundered. So that means I have to make it non-freshly laundered. How do I do that? So as he mentions very quickly, so you have to pre-wear it. To wear it, you have to put it on before the 9 days. So So let's say you have a suit and you took it to the cleaners, so you have to pre-wear that for a short time. There's different opinions how long, 20 minutes, a half an hour, some people say less, to take the newness, the fresh out of it. So that's what we do. We pre-wear things before the 9 days. So again, so then so what do I have to pre-wear? Okay, a suit you have to pre-wear. How about socks? How about undergarments? How about you have to pre-wear everything? So the answer is that anything that's a beged zeya means a garment that gets schwitzy, as they say in English, gets sweaty. In other words, we'll discuss that in a second. So that does not have to be pre-worn. So you don't have to pre-wear undergarments. You don't have to pre-wear socks. You don't have to pre-wear that. So,
but undershirt?
Undershirt, you don't have to, because it gets sweaty. Now, the question is, how about a shirt? How about a shirt? So, if a man doesn't wear an undershirt, you know, we, like I used to tell the girls in Mexico, we live in our existence. So, you know, like, not that long ago, very, very not long ago, in other words, very recently, men didn't wear undershirts. It was, you know, like where do you get that? You know, where you're lucky if you had a shirt. So now, so we can understand if somebody, or maybe somebody's very hot, they don't want to wear an undershirt. So if they don't wear an undershirt, a shirt would be a begadzea because it comes into contact with the body, gets sweaty. But what happens if a man wears an undershirt? So then, is the shirt a begadzea? Is it a sweaty shirt or not? A sweaty garment. Again, the difference would be, or the significance is, would a man have to pre-wear his shirts before the 9 days? So Rav Moshe writes, I don't know if it's in the Igros Moshe, but his Kolel put out a Torah Ve'Harah, put out a pamphlet once, I have it at home, that Rav Moshe says you do not, because of the collar. Collar gets sweaty, so even if you are wearing an undershirt, gets sweaty. Some disagree with that. So again, some disagree with that. So you can understand the issue, the concept. Again, if it's a beged zeya, so then you don't have to pre-wear it before the 9 days. If it is not, so then you would. That's the question. So what he also doesn't discuss here is what happens if you didn't pre-wear clothes before. So it's very interesting to me that, you know, this is the way it is in Klal Yisrael, that not too many people in this shul between Menachem Arav when we learn Mishnah Berurah, so even today, sometimes quite often I quote the Marsham, the Das Torah. Maybe a lot of you have heard of Rosh Hashanah Shvadron, Sefer Tzadik Baruch Hu. Shon Shadron put out his grandfather's sefer. It's right there. It's called the Das Torah. And Shon Shadron's grandfather was one of the greatest poskim of his generation, especially in Galicia. He was like considered the one, if not the biggest poskim. So everybody knows this Marsham. It's very curious to me. People don't know too many Marshans, but when there's a hat there, everybody can. So the Marsham does bring down that the whole idea is take out the newness. So if you put it on the floor and rub it in, not rub it, but put it on the ground a little, so that it takes the newness out of it. Imagine even with us. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring down this opinion. I don't think the Aruch HaShulchan brings down this opinion. The Marsham, who's for most people something obscure, brings this down. Now, some people, you hear people say you have to jump on it, and not too allowed to do that to clothes. You jump on clothes, and you know, you have to treat clothes respectfully. David HaMelech was punished because of this. But there is such an opinion by the Marsham. If you rub it in something, and take some newness out of it, so then that would work. Now, it seems like many poskim don't agree with it. It depends on the case, how urgently a person would need it. Another way people, I want to say get around this pre-wearing thing is especially this year, right? We'll have two Shabbosim in the 9 days, Rosh Chodesh and the day right before, and the eighth. So what some people do is this thing of wearing freshly laundered clothes, as he said, I think he said it, didn't he say it? On Shabbos it doesn't apply, right? Yeah. One may wear freshly laundered clothes on Shabbos that occurs during the 9 days. So, here we have an out, right? Let's say you have a clothes that you did not pre-wear before the 9 days, and you weren't wearing it during the 9 days. So here I got a simple answer. Wear it on Shabbos. Wear it on Shabbos. Now, you could do that. The only problem is you get into a different issue. That is, you know, you're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos. So the question is this considered preparing? So it depends. Like somebody asked me just on Shabbos or before Shabbos, they asked me, could they drink water Shabbos afternoon so that their voice is fresh, you know, like, you know, like I empathize with this issue, for after Shabbos. Understand the question? Is they're drinking water on Saturday afternoon, Shabbos afternoon, so the voice is lubricated from, let's say, Shabbos. So I said to them, they can. They can. Why? They're preparing for after Shabbos. Answer is, it's not clear that they're preparing for after Shabbos. In other words, the question is, and it comes up very often, could somebody take a nap Shabbos afternoon so that Saturday night they have a mamako, whatever, they're raring to go? Aren't you preparing for after Shabbos? The answer is, if it's not clear that you're preparing, well, people sleep, I assume, people sleep Shabbos afternoon, right? So how do you know this guy's preparing for him? Maybe it's just a Shabbos afternoon siesta, right? If the person would say, you know what, I got to go to sleep now because I got to be up after Shabbos, so right, you shouldn't do that. Because then you're actually saying that you're preparing for after Shabbos. But let's say if you just sleep, even though that's your intent, it's not clear. So same thing here. He's allowed to drink the water because maybe he's just thirsty right now. Maybe he's just thirsty right now. How do you know? Because I don't usually do it. Well, you know, like maybe today you're thirsty. Now, the problem with the clothes is if on Shabbos during the 9 days, you try on something you would not wear on Shabbos. For me, that's a lot of things. But I don't know. Like, I remember a girl asked me once when I was teaching in Beis Yaakov, could she try on her denim skirt on Shabbos because she wanted to wear it during the 9 days. So I was holding my breath and I said, would you wear a denim skirt on Shabbos? Of course not. Never wear a denim shirt on skirt on Shabbos. So that at least was safe. So I said, then you're preparing. It's clear. Why you wouldn't wear this on Shabbos? I mean, I said, I told you, right, you shouldn't wear it on Shabbos. But then it's blatant, it's clear that you're preparing for after Shabbos. Therefore, you can't do that. So the same thing applies. That's the halacha. In other words, if you're wearing something that there is no way, no how, it's clear you wouldn't wear this. This is not Shabbos clothing, which is a separate issue. So then, if you'd wear it on a Shabbos during the 9 days so that you could wear it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever, so then you're preparing for after Shabbos. It's clear you're preparing for after Shabbos. That would be no good. So for a man, let's say you have, I'm sure everybody notices, that I have different white shirts that I wear on Shabbos than I do during the week. I'm sure everybody knows that. Right? Yeah? No? So again, so that would be the Shaila. In other words, let's say, again, if you go according to the opinions that you do have to pre-wear shirts, and oh, I forgot. So then, or I ran short or something, you know, like my wife made spaghetti and meatballs and I didn't calculate properly and all of a sudden some of the meat sauce got all over the shirt. There goes one shirt, right? So so I need another shirt that I wasn't counting on. So I would think that if I would try on that shirt on Shabbos, it would not be a problem. I don't think you could really tell the difference between one shirt and another shirt. I can, but I can tell the difference between my Shabbos shirts and my different quality of shirt. But nobody else could tell. But like if it was a denim white shirt, if they make such a thing, just to use an example. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so it depends if it would, right? So if it would be like something that would set, so you're right. If it would be something like chocolate, right? Isn't chocolate the worst thing?
Beets.
That beats me. Yeah, so something like that you would be able to spot clean. Yeah, but here we're talking about, you know, like a regular case, you know.
What if you found yourself in a situation you just miscalculated and you ran out of shirts?
Right.
Then you could wash.
Oh, you mean, and you don't have any shirts left?
Yeah, say there's like, you're on the 8th
day. Okay, so now don't forget, there's two different issues. Okay. One issue is, could you wash the shirts? So you were saying you're not allowed to wash shirts or take them into a dry cleaner or whatever. Okay. Irrespective of where you're going. The second problem is, how are you going to wear that shirt?
Right. Mm.
There's two different issues. In other words, one issue is, I'm not going to, like you said somewhere, right? Can't wash my clothes. This rule applies even if one does not intend to wear the clothes until after Tisha B'Av, right? I don't know. You know, the cleaning ladies, the women, the maids in the from houses hate after a yontif and after the 9 days. You know, there's just these mounds of clothes that they have to, you know. Dry cleaners probably like it after, I mean, they don't like the 9 days or, right, their business goes down. But, so there's two different issues. In other words, if I'm stuck, what am I going to do? If I'm really stuck, what am I going to do? So in that type of case, again, it's not the best, you shouldn't. But maybe we would say, like, take it to a non-Jewish cleaner. And then, have a non-Jew try it on, or maybe do the Marsham's thing, rubbing it down a little. You know, like we'd have to try something like that. Huh? Maybe, I don't know if that would work so well. It's possible. Depends, maybe, I don't know, a boy who's 12, a big boy, you know, like, I don't know, by that time he's at chinuch age already, so I don't know if we would do that. Okay, so that's the important halacha. Now, again, this is during the 9 days. We're not talking about now. Now we're doing the 3 weeks, right? We're just preparing for the 9 days. So one thing, again, that is ratcheted up during the 9 days is freshly laundered clothes. That's number one. Okay, number two, which is number nine.
One should not
be everybody's favorite.
For Moshe Kodesh Av until after the ninth of Av, even in cold water. One may wash his face, hands, feet, and feet in cold water. One may remove dirt and perspiration with cold water. For health and medical reasons, one may bathe even in hot water.
Okay, so this is probably the big one for most people, is not to bathe or during the 9 days. So this is the halacha. They really shouldn't nothing, right? Except for, you see, face, hands, and feet in cold water. Now the issue, that's halacha, end of story, right? Now the issue comes up for us Americans. And in fact, I even saw recently Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, other Zechat Zagrach discusses. In America, we're different. Like, we bathe every day. Every other day, I don't know, every day. A lot of people, like, take a shower every day. So the question is, we're going to see later, we'll see under the halachas of Tisha B'Av maybe, but let's say, even according to this halacha, right? So you're not, let's say you get dirty. That's what happens. Somebody, slipped. They have dirt. So they could wash this off, that off? Yes. You're allowed to wash dirt off. So what's the definition of dirt? How far you go? Like, let's say this person perspires. They're really, really uncomfortable. So based on what we said before, well, during the 9 days, you're supposed to be uncomfortable. Yeah, but go 3 days, 4 days without taking a shower, you know, I mean, it's more than uncomfortable. So again, sometimes, especially in America today, some poskim are more lenient. But again, what we try to tell people is remove, like, the reason why you'll take a shower is only to, like, you know, sometimes you take a shower, and it's a nice hot shower, and it's also, it's kashmak, right? So that for sure you shouldn't do. So in other words, you should remove the enjoyment. So you take a cold shower. Maybe try to do each part of your body separately. People with very, very, very oily hair, you know, a lot of people have that. So then, you know, if you just wash out your hair very quickly with cold water. So again, it's not, it's because maybe your hair gets like really itchy even after 1 day. Some people are like, a lot of people are like that. Again, it could be it's a little different for Americans because we're very hygiene conscious. Like we're very, very hygiene, you know, like I said. So if you go every other day, that's better. Again, the base of English, we should try to push ourselves a little bit. But again, that's where you get into a slippery slope sometimes. Right, we're not talking about Erev Shabbos. We'll get to that.
But cold water is okay?
Again, it's really better not to. But in America today, it's I don't know if it's doable. So yeah, in other words, you take the pleasure out of it. So the only question comes up if you have them more in New York. But like if you have one of those hot, steamy, sticky New York days or Washington or Gulf Coast days, Miami days. Never been in Miami, but you know, here it's interesting. So I assume for those people to take a cold shower would probably be right. So I don't know what you do then. Take Badavka, a hot shower, that probably, maybe, I don't know. But in other words, that's the concept, right? I keep on harping all the time on understanding the concept. So the concept is to take out the enjoyment of what we do. So that applies here too. Okay, men who immerse themselves.
Men who immerse themselves in the mikveh every Erev Shabbos, no matter how busy they are, may immerse themselves in cool water on the Erev Shabbos preceding the ninth of Av. Sephardic Jews only refrain from bathing during the week of Tisha B'Av.
Okay, so we're not going to go through that again, right? Sephardim, all the stuff that we do during 9 days, they only apply during the Shavuot Shachabo, the week of Tisha B'Av. Again, we discussed that before.
There are various customs regarding cutting one's nails during the week of Tisha B'Av. If the ninth of Av is on Shabbos, one may cut his nails on Friday in honor of Shabbos.
Right, okay. So that's already giving you a window into where we're headed. In other words, Shabbos, we saw this already before, Shabbos is Shabbos. There's no avelos on Shabbos, no outward avelos on Shabbos, so we'll see more about that as we go along. Okay, so far we got no fresh laundry clothes, no enjoyable bathing. Okay, here's number 3, which again is number 10.
It is customary not to eat meat or foods that have been cooked with meat, and not to drink wine during these 9 days. A sick person may eat meat.
Okay, that's the big one. Right, 9 days menus, right? What do all the restaurants do? Right? Big problem on Pico Boulevard. What do you do? Like, I think Pico Deli a few times closed down during the 9 days. Right? Just closed down. But a lot of the places, like, they have 9-day menus. We can't eat meat. Or foods that have meat in it, like a meat sauce, right? So chicken soup, right? During the nine days, we can't drink wine. There's an argument why.
Except Shabbos.
I assume he's going to talk about Shabbos. But there's a difference of opinion as to why. Why don't we eat meat or drink wine during the 9 days, 3 weeks? During the 9 days, excuse me. One opinion is because it reminds us of the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Korbanos stopped, so there was meat and wine, right? They had nesachim. The other reason is because of happiness, right? Chomping down to a nice hamburger. I almost looked like that was Musar Shir, right? To a nice hamburger or a steak. Or, you know, having wine. So that makes a person happy. It's incongruous with this time of year. Now, the difference with the nafka mina between those two opinions would be, let's say, schnapps, whiskey. So if you say the reason is because of simcha, all you know that I might disagree with this, but schnapps brings simcha apparently, supposedly, to a lot of people. So therefore, if it's because of simcha, you would not be able to drink schnapps, not just wine, during the 9 days. If you would say it's because of the karbanos that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, we haven't seen yet, even though some people might like it to be otherwise, there was no korban that had schnapps in it. Wasn't. I hate to break it to some people, but there wasn't. So then, if you say it's because of karbanos, then you could drink schnapps on during the 9 days. Okay? We go, believe it or not, like the first opinion that it's because of reminding us of the korbanos. So therefore, we usually say schnapps would be okay. Now again, is it befitting? Is it right? I don't know, we can argue about that. Like, it doesn't really fit for the times, but it's technically okay. Okay? Okay, so, and again, we're not talking about somebody who's sick. Somebody who's sick, so obviously all bets are off. Now we're talking about sick, like really badly sick, like, God forbid, their life's in danger. Even less than that. Because we couldn't handle that. It'd be too much for us. Okay, next pair. This is the interesting one. Let's spend a little time on this.
Okay, it is permitted to eat at a Seudas Mitzvah, such as a meal following a circumcision or when redeeming a firstborn.
Right, Pidyon HaBen or a bris that falls out during the 9 days. So you can, they serve fleishiks. I don't recall being at one. But, you know, usually at least Ashkenazim, when there's a bris, we usually have it in the morning, right after davening. Say serve bagels and lox and things like that. It could be, I'm not sure, like Sephardim, you go to a Sephardi bris, a lot of times, even early in the morning, they'll have fleishiks. Not fleishiks. But I would assume, that even Ashkenazim, if you have a bris during the 9 days, you'll see fleishiks brought out, right? And this is legitimate. If there's a Seudas Mitzvah, then you can eat fleishiks even during the 9 days. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but what started, it seems like it had started in the 50s, in the 40s maybe even, probably the 50s, is especially we don't have, and a lot of Angelenos have trouble with this, but in New York, you know, people, even though many of you are born in L.A. maybe, you don't know this phenomenon, but in New York, people clear out of New York in the summer months, the end of June, July, August, and they go up to the mountains, to the Catskills, right? And people have bungalows, and because it gets hot and sticky in the city, people don't want to be in the city during that time of year, so they go up to the mountains, and there's all these things because of that. But what evidently happened is in the 50s, when they started making camps, sleepaway camps, from sleepaway camps. So the problem was, during the 9 days, what do you feed the kids? So there's a difference of opinion historically why they did this, but it became a quote-unquote, and I want to leave it that way, quote-unquote a custom that during the 9 days, somebody or many people make a siyum. Right, they'd finish something in learning, a Gemara, Mishnayos, whatever it may be, make a siyum, and then the whole camp gets to eat fleishiks. Right? So, a lot of people talk about this quote-unquote custom, where it came from, why did it start? You know, some people say it started because, you know, people weren't so crazy about sending their kids away to camp altogether. So all of a sudden you say to a parent, you know, for 9 days, except for Shabbos, we're just going to feed the milks. I know it's hard for you to believe, but when I was a boy, there was no such thing as kosher pizza. I know it's very hard. It's like trying to picture life without art scroll. Sort of like the same thing. It's very difficult to imagine. But that's the way it was, believe it or not. There weren't dinosaurs walking around at that time, even though a lot of people think that maybe there were. But there wasn't. So what do you got to feed the kids? So they were worried a lot of parents would be resistant to sending their kids. Some people say that's the reason. Some people say the cooks, it was hard for the cooks to make so much milchiks for so long. Be that as it may, there is some type of quote-unquote custom that they do such a thing. Now, recently, there is a movement afoot against that. Because, see, what happened was, when they did it in the mountains, in the camps, so then in the overnight camps, some people started doing it in other places also. So all of a sudden, in New York they have a place called Kosher Delight. It's like a fast food place. It's not like PKD. It's like a fast food place, like hamburgers, hot dogs, things like that. So all of a sudden you can imagine somebody wants to go to Kosher Delight. So all of a sudden rip out a Gemara, make a sieve, and all of a sudden 10 people have. I'm not saying they do that, but you can imagine the slippery slope here. So recently there are articles decrying this wanted disuse of siyumim, just making a siyum all the time. So I want to bring that up because that is an issue. Well, in Los Angeles it's not so much of an issue. But it did come up a couple of times. It won't happen this year. But sometimes Daf Yomi ended up finishing a masakta during the 9 days. So that would be legitimate. In other words, you learn a certain amount every day. You weren't planning on it, but it turns out there's a siyum. You finish a masakta during the 9 days. So that would be legitimate. That would be a case where it would be legitimate to make a siyum. In other words, you learn a daf every day, and it turns out, I didn't make the calendar. Turns out that there's a siyum during the 9 days, so that would be legitimate to have a siyum during that time. But again, what I'm talking about is different, that, they learn and they make the siyum during the 9 days. So it's, a lot of people don't like that that much. I don't know if it's changing, but there have been articles about that. Want to mention something?
Well, in the Catskill Mountains and in camps and then Shabbos lunches and the resorts, there were cold dairy meals.
Right. Well, hopefully not on Shabbos, because Shabbos you should have Leishik hat, but okay, different. Okay, so now, if we can't eat meat or drink wine, so then the problem is, bottom paragraph.
Abdallah is recited over a cup of wine on the Motzi Shabbos between Rosh Chodesh Av and Tisha B'Av. If a young child who knows the significance of reciting brachas, but who is not old enough to understand the mourning over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is present, he should drink most of the cup of wine. If a child of this age is not present, the one who recites Abdallah drinks the wine.
Okay, so you see the problem. Problem is, you're making Abdallah. So you make Abdallah, the permissibility to drink wine ends because now it's not Shabbos anymore. But I have to drink the wine because I made Abdallah. So, it's brought down in halacha. So what you do is, you give it to a kid to drink. A kid who knows, understands what it means to make a bracha.
What age?
So that's the tricky part. But he's too young. But he's too young. He's not old enough to understand the morning of the destruction of Israel. So, like, what is that? 5, 6? Yeah, it does depends on the kid. But probably older than 9, 10 is already too old. Now, this is very tricky. Like, what age is it? The kid understands about brachas, to make a bracha, but not fully understand about the Beis HaMikdash. So, be somewhere in that age, like 5, 6, somewhere around there.
5 to 9.
Yeah, maybe even younger, 5 to 8. Now, I have to tell you, I've seen a few svarim bring down that gedolim didn't do this. They just drank the wine themselves. Just drank the wine. Because since it's part of Shabbos and it's part of Hadalah, so you could drink the wine. So a lot of people do that. Especially if it's grape juice, it could be a little easier.
But this year it's Erev Tisha B'Av.
We're going to get to that. So Zez bringing up a good point. So here we're talking about the first Shabbos. In other words, Rosh Chodesh. So then you get into this problem. Right, the second is Erev Tisha B'Av. We'll see later. We won't be making Havdalah. because the fast started already. But here we're talking about the first Shabbos we'll have, where the ninth days is just beginning. So then, Saturday night after you made Abdullah, so then what do you do with that wine or grape juice? So again, he comes up with, it's not he come up, this is the halacha. Halacha brings down to give it to a kid who's right that age, right in between there, understands brachas, but doesn't understand about the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, so you give them the wine. But many poskim I've seen recently say, just drink the wine straight, whoever made the Havdalah.
Shabbos Chazon. The Shabbos before Tisha B'Av is called Shabbos Chazon. This name is derived from the Haftorah, which begins with the words Chazon, Yeshayahu ben Amoz, vision of Yeshayahu, son of Amoz. This prophecy severely rebukes the Israelites for their avarice. It is permitted to wear Shabbos clothes, eat meat, and drink wine on the Shabbos.
Okay, so everything's off. Believe it or not, some people, it's brought down halacha, did not wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbos Chazon. Now, basically, the issue will... One problem is Shabbos Chazon, so, you know, especially this year, it's right before Tisha B'Av. But on the other hand, we have the other problem. The other problem is you're never allowed to have any outward manifestation of mourning on Shabbos. So, for most people, there's a clear difference between their Shabbos clothes and their weekday clothes. A question would come up about people maybe like me, that, you know, I could tell the difference between my Shabbos suit and my weekday suit. I don't know if you can. So should I wear a weekday suit on Shabbos because there's no outward manifestation? This way it's a 9 days, so I'm wearing not such a nice suit. At least I know it's not such a nice suit. You might not notice that with the difference between one suit and another. So, again, there's the big tumult about this. Again, for most people, it doesn't apply. But once saw a story in a sefer that there was a community that had a custom, that some people in the community had the custom that they would not wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbos Chazon, on the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. So I think the story went something like this, that so the Rav didn't wear Shabbos clothes, so he didn't wear a shtreimel or whatever it is. So there was a guy in the community, he was an interesting guy. In other words, he was a genius. So we all know what sometimes geniuses are. Sometimes they have there are quirks to their behavior sometimes. Sometimes we call him sometimes an Eloi. But Eloi really means something else. But anyways, be that as it may. So there's one of these guys in that community. So he saw the Rav not in his Shabbos clothes. So I think this happens to a lot of us. I think we have to be grateful for a lot of reasons that we're from Jews. But one reason is because a from Jew davens every morning. And you say, Hayom Yom. So at least you know what day it is. And you start the day, you know, it's Monday, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday. Right? Because you have to say it in the Shir Shal Yom at the end of davening. But you can imagine that I bet there's a lot of people walking around that don't even know what day of the week it is. You know, they just go on with their lives, and you know, somebody told me this is why in hospitals now they're doing that. They have a clock right opposite where the patient is, so they could see. And also they have these whiteboards, and they say the nurse's name, and they say today is, and the nurse writes, you know, like Tuesday, you know, or whatever day of the month and week it is, you know, because when you're in that time, it's like being in a casino, Lahavdil. You know, you lose track of time. You don't remember what day it is. So unfortunately, there's some people, even Baruch Hashem, they're not in the hospital, and Baruch Hashem, they're not in a casino. They lose track, you know, like, what day is it? Right? So when you're from Jew, you realize what day it is. So it's one of these guys, one of these Eluyim. So he saw the Rav walking around, not wearing his Shabbos clothes. So he ran to Shul, started putting on tefillin. Right? The rabbi's not wearing his Shabbos clothes. Must be, it's not Shabbos. He didn't know what day of the week it is. One thing I do know, it's not Shabbos. I have to put on tefillin. I saw this, believe it or not, in an actual sefer. So I think it rings down there in Dvar Yom Yomo that therefore they abolished that minhag. Because guys don't put on tefillin on Shabbos. So anyway, so that's basically... Yes, I do. The Vilna Gaon, I think, says that. Yeah. But I don't wear my shtreimel. Okay.
So otherwise, do we put the same enjoyment to Shabbos? I mean, where I was last year, they were kind of like humming, kind of like, you know, it's kind of subdued a little bit. But is that like we should? Should we just let her rip and just, you know, like normal Shabbos?
We do.
Joy?
Well, actually, we're going to get into this, running out of time, but we're going to get into it about an Erev Tisha B'Av. Maybe we'll do it next week. Erev Tisha B'Av, usually, if it's not on Shabbos. If Erev Tisha B'Av is not on Shabbos, so we have restrictions. We'll see you next week. Some people don't learn, they only learn Tisha B'Av stuff. So like midday the day before. What happens if it's Shabbos? Like this year. Let's ratchet it up a little. You know, I always like doing this. Let's make the Shai a little better. Okay, so a lot of people have a custom to say Pirkei Avos Shabbos afternoon. So then what do you do if Shabbos is Erev Tisha B'Av, and it's after midday? Are you allowed to say Pirkei Avos? Allowed to say Pirkei Avos? That's, believe it or not, the thing I was looking up that we're not going to get to today. But Mir Tisha, next week we'll do Erev Tisha B'Av, and we'll get into Tisha B'Av also a little. Can we do on Tisha B'Av? So Mir Tisha, we'll pick this up next week, pulling together. Okay?